This is Will Cooper with the Smooth Drawers Radio Show. I'm at the 2017 IPCPR Trade Show, and I'm in the Davidoff of Geneva booth, and I'm here with Charles Awad of Davidoff of Geneva. Charles, how you doing today?
Very good. Thank you, Will. All good. Very good. Exciting show. A lot of things to share with aficionados and retailers, and it's been a great show so far.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've been wanting to talk to you for a while. I know, like I mentioned, your name's on press releases all the time, but this is the first time we've actually gotten a chance to meet here, so very excited here.
Great to meet face-to-face at last. Yeah, I've seen your name as well on a lot of the things I read.
So, I hope it's good.
Always good. Okay. Exciting. Very good stuff.
Charles, what's your role at Davidoff?
I'm the CMO at Davidoff. Basically, I handle all the marketing and the innovation for Davidoff and the group, and I'm based in Basel in Switzerland. And I've been with the company for almost 6 years, and I've been pretty much behind a lot of the things that you've been seeing on Davidoff, Avo, and Camacho over the last 5 years, and working at making sure aficionados across the globe are discovering new cigars and enjoying exciting experiences.
Let's go back to, you said you started around 2011, and at the time, that's when your boss, Hans Christian Holzgard, came into play, and he put into an innovation strategy. And tell us a little about what that strategy was.
Well, the innovation strategy basically hinges on a number of factors. The first is to understand the DNA of the brands, and Davidoff, as you know, is a brand who has a founder, Zino Davidoff. And Zino Davidoff is a man, honestly, who's been very much a pioneer in the cigar industry. He's traveled all the tobacco countries, very open-minded gentleman, and he was ready to basically discover new lands and new tobacco lands. So I've taken that as inspiration for our innovation strategy on Davidoff, is to basically be open to tobaccos from all over the world that could basically bring experiences which are very differentiated versus the experiences we used to offer at Davidoff, which were, you know, mostly Dominican. So over the last 5 years, you know, starting with Davidoff Nicaragua, and what we call the Discovery Pillar, this black label Davidoff that most of you have seen by now, we basically started bringing in innovation, working very closely with our master blender team and the DR, and making sure that these innovations are bringing very different cigar profiles to attract different consumers and to delight different consumers across the globe. And we've seen great success. To give you an example, our Nicaraguan introduction had a lot of Cuban smokers who basically moved to Nicaragua and our puro enjoying it, and this is how basically over a number of years our business has doubled on Davidoff in the last 5 years, so globally, not just in the US. So it's been an exciting ride, exciting journey. I would say one of the key components of that innovation strategy is to be on the lookout on what the consumer wants and desires versus what a team internally would think the consumers wants and desires. So we've been very much, and this is one of our strategies, is to be close to panels of consumers in Asia, in Europe, and in the US to understand exactly what type of cigars would be delighting their palates. And this is how basically over the last 5 years, a lot of the innovation has been striking a chord and giving great results on the business.
And then, you know, you talked about Nicaragua. That was the first all Davidoff Nicaraguan Puro. Did you see that as something in the industry at the time that you needed to play in that space?
No, I have to say it's not a question of whether we needed to play on the space or not. It was a taste profile that I thought we needed to deliver. And honestly, with Dominican cigars, as we used to blend them, we were not able to deliver that spicy, bittersweet type of profile. And looking at tobaccos, Nicaragua became an obvious choice. Great tobaccos from Condega, from Esteli, or Metepe, in the case of Nicaragua Puro. And when we discovered that these tobaccos fermented the Davidoff way and aged the Davidoff way, because these tobaccos are aged a number of years, would basically deliver the kind of experience that we deliver. It didn't have to do with Nicaragua as a country or an origin. It had to do with the experience that the cigar had to deliver.
Then you came up with Escurio. Why Brazil?
Why Brazil? Now, you know, this is one thing, you know, when we looked at some of the experiences, and Escurio is very polarizing. Some people love it, some people hate it, which is exactly what we want.
I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I love to hear, because, you know, yesterday I met somebody who said, I hate that cigar, and I love your Nicaragua Puro. But these are very different cigars, and the one of the pillars of that innovation strategy is to deliver very different experiences for people like you who may enjoy that spicy sweet profile better than a bittersweet profile which the Nicaraguan Puto Puro delivers. So when we look at that and you know, Rio, and you know, I don't know if you remember, but we had the Olympics in Rio, and when I looked at Rio is all about rhythm, intrigue, and originality, and that was the inspiration for our blender. We said we need a very rhythmic cigar. We need to have, you know, a cigar that constantly surprises you. And we wanted to play in that spicy, because Rio is pretty spicy and sweet. There is a sweetness in Rio. And that's how basically Escurio was born, and the blend with Matafina and Cubra, as well as some Dominican tobaccos, was basically created.
Now, then you kind of went, I say, home. And you went back to the Dominican Republic, and you went with a tobacco called the Yamasa, which I had seen in other Davidoff cigars, but now you built a whole brand around it.
Yeah, Yamasa. Yamasa is a long story. As you know, Henke, Manuel Peralta, and the team have been working for over 20 years in making sure that Yamasa piece of land. I don't know if you had a chance to visit Yamasa, but this is, it's really, for me, when I talk to these guys who are behind growing tobacco in Yamasa and understanding the challenge, that was also, one of the things that's why Yamasa is called, it's all about dream discoveries and dares. I mean, really daring. I mean, to spend 20 years perfecting a land to deliver that kind of tobacco, or something which was thought, outside the world of tobacco, would be quite a feat. And in tobacco, I don't think people spend 20 years trying to develop something out of a piece of swampland, honestly, which is not that great. So what they've done is basically a tribute to their work, and Yamasa was called Yamasa, even though it's a blend of Nicaraguan tobaccos and Yamasa tobaccos. So it's a blend of Nicaraguan and Dominican, and that was to pay tribute, basically, to all the great work and to give back by recognizing all their hard work.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic story and a great blend as well. Yeah. Then, of course, there were a couple of other, what I'd say, innovations from Davidoff that you haven't seen. First, we'll start with the box presses that you introduced with Nicaragua.
Yeah, well, this was, when we launched Nicaragua, and one of the things I realized, especially in North America, but also outside North America, the job of Davidoff, and this is the mission on the brand, the same way as Zeno was a pioneer and was willing and wanting to have people discover new tobaccos, etc. So what we wanted to do with the box press is to allow people to experience a different way of enjoying a cigar. And box press does something to Nicaragua when we tested it, which is delivering an extra kick. And by also dialing up the Ligero in our box press, we delivered even more intensity behind the Puro. So what we did is basically, by box pressing it, we want to deliver yet another experience with pretty much a similar blend.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That was actually
that's
my favorite.
Gorgeous cigar. Gorgeous, gorgeous cigar. And, in Europe, people who looked at it and say, oh, a square cigar, or in Asia, well, this is also one of the ways Davidoff opens the aficionados world, saying, look beyond what you have today and try something else. So, the message would be to a Cuban smoker saying, okay, Cuba is fantastic. I love Cuban cigars, but Cuba is four leaves and three seeds. And, if you want to discover something which is a little bit different, there are countries like Mexico with San Andres, like Nicaragua with Esteli, like the Dominican with San Vicente, creating tobaccos which deliver very different experiences. So I use these examples also to say, try something which you're not comfortable with, because, there is adventure, there is exploration, and out of exploration, very often there is reward.
I totally agree, and that's why I've been personally excited about Davidoff as well.
Yeah, that's basically, I hope, over the last 5 years, that's been our mission as a team, and that's what we've been working on, and there'll be yet another number of great products and innovations on the cigar side that will help the aficionado open its world and see other things than either, the usual go-to cigar, which is fine, but it's good to try other things.
Will Cooper, I'm with the Smooth Doors Radio Show here at the IPCPR Trade Show. I'm here with Charles Awad of Davidoff of Geneva. One more I want to mention and hit on is the 6x60 line extensions you introduced this year.
Yes. Now, this is basically listening to consumers, and there are some consumers who love 6x60s. I'm not a fan myself of 6x60s. I think it's a far too big a format to enjoy. But I have to say, when a consumer wants it, this is basically back to our mission. We're here to listen to what people want and give them in the blends that we decide that we want to deliver on an experience that allows them to enjoy that. So we did that on our whole Discovery range, on Escurio, on Yamasa, and on Nicaragua, just to give them the opportunity to enjoy their favorite format in our blends.
On this radio show, I've talked about the Davidoff Nicaragua 6x60. I thought it was an incredible size, personally, so it was very good.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you very much, Will. Yeah, a lot of people have enjoyed it, and I know it's been a home run for us so far.
Turning our attention, there's also white label, which is an important part of the portfolio. How are you incorporating innovation on that side of the portfolio?
Now, white label is a core of the franchise, and I have to tell you, you know, every time I travel to Asia and Europe, there are some core Davidoff consumers who love the white label, and the white label has fantastic, subtle aromas, and, you know, I wouldn't say they're mild. There's a mild side to the white label, but there's also a much bolder side to the white label. Very different blends, and honestly, what we've done in the last number of years is basically to innovate. We have seen the 702 series, which has been a huge success in the US and beyond. So we've launched a 702 series on our core properties, on the number 2, on the Anniversario 3, on the Special R, to actually make the white label fresh again. And a lot of white label consumers enjoyed their 702 counterparts, but then also a lot of new consumers started enjoying the white label with the 702 series. So it's basically making sure that we bring news to that side. We introduced finally a Robusto and a Toro on our signature range, which was long overdue.
Right.
But you know, when you look at that and you do it, it's basically helping on Grand Cru, same thing. We have a Robusto at last. It was all Coronas before. So we're bringing, you know, formats to excite people who want, you know, Robusto on their Grand Cru range, etc. So a lot of exciting things on the white label, and honestly, it's the core of our business, and this is where the consumer is actually enjoying in a big way, as well as our newer innovations. But the core of our business is still in our history and heritage, which is a white label.
Sure, no, I agree. I love what you did with the 702 as well. Now, you've done a lot of interesting projects. I would say they're kind of interest to our audience because we do a lot of cigar lifestyle. So you've collaborated with chefs, you've collaborated with artists, and you've positioned some cigars as, you know, for the golfers, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Some of the limited editions. Are those things that are part of the strategy as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Cigars, I mean, Davidoff is filling your time beautifully, and you don't enjoy a cigar on its own. You're enjoying cigars in great company, or if you're alone, you're actually dreaming and having a nice chilling time. But they're very often, you know, food associated with cigars. So gastronomy is a natural extension. When I look at a master blender, Davidoff, who's a magician, the chef is equally a magician, and the chef has access to ingredients the same way our magician master blender has access to a number of ingredients and tobaccos from all over the world. And there is a very close similarity between the world of gastronomy and the world of cigars. And I think that link is reinforced, you know, with our gastronomy events that we do across the globe, but also by these collaborations that we've done with the Chef Edition in 2016, but another Chef Edition which is coming in 2018, which really exciting.
Oh, wow.
This is big news. And a fantastic U.S. chef will be part of that edition, a fantastic Hong Kong chef. And so we're taking their inspiration, working with our blenders, and trying to develop a blend that suits their desires.
That's great. And then the Art Edition, you released another one recently. That was a beautiful cigar.
Thank you. The Art Edition and the Art Initiative as a whole is very important for us, because the Caribbean is our home, and this is what, you know, this is where we started, and this is where we need to basically give back. And the Art Initiative is much, much bigger than an Art Edition, which is actually giving back by some of the proceeds are reinvested into the Art Initiative, which is helping young Caribbean artists actually grow their art and be in residencies in Beijing, in New York, in Berlin, and try to evolve their art form by being exposed to a Chinese way of art or a Berlin type environment, etc. And so by doing that, we're basically giving them the opportunity to grow, and we're featuring them in some cases in some of the work they do in our lounges, and we're helping them basically become great artists. So this is our way of giving back to the Caribbean in a way.
That's you know there's some really interesting art projects I've noticed you did. Like last year with the 2016, I think every box had a different piece of artwork on it.
This was Olivia McGuirst had basically done a film. I don't know if you've seen the whole film.
Yes, I have.
You have seen the whole film. So the whole film basically had 8,000 some frames, and every one of these frames was basically used as a packaging execution on the box. And it was, you know, a complex project, but really, you know, it was paying tribute to all her work and her film, and making sure that this actually gave an exciting execution on that.
So there were no two boxes alike on that, correct?
Not a single identical box. Every box was unique.
How many boxes were there?
I think we were at 7,500 or 8,000 max.
That's still amazing.
Single frame. A single frame from that film.
Charles, you know, so one last point. The Zodiac series, you know, FDA, are we going to see the Zodiac series come to closure?
Now, you may or may not see the Zodiac series come to closure because, you know, the U.S. is one part, but there is the rest of the world, and we have a huge business outside the U.S. So the Zodiac series will continue. You'll have, I mean, I don't want to, you know, there will be innovation that may make it to the U.S. or may not make it to the U.S., depending on the situation with the FDA. But there will be news in the U.S. because you can still innovate, especially with grandfather blends, and do things. So we'll have maybe a rest of world versus USA type innovation stream coming forward.
That's great. So, you know, the last one I want to hit is, and it was an expensive cigar, but I loved it, was the Royal Release.
Yeah, the Royal Release is an outstanding cigar. Yeah. It's been, you know, it's expensive, but, you know, it's not for everyday use. Right. It's basically for the special occasions. And we have a lot of consumers who actually praise this release in a big way. And we've been doing very well across the globe with the release. So that and Oro Blanco, of course, which is, you know, the ultimate rare cigar, which is, you know, having its own consumer, and then some people want to, you know, splurge and indulge, and this is really an indulgence.
Yeah, and there's definitely a market for that as well.
There is, absolutely there is, yeah.
So Charles, I mean, great show, really appreciate the time here. Like I said, pleasure to put a face to a name here, and best of luck to you at the trade show.
Thanks a lot, Will, and best of continuation for you with all your other meetings and interviews. Take care.
Thank you.